Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. May God bless the reading of His Word. As Martin and Mavis were driving away from church, she said to him suddenly, "Do these pants make me look fat?" Before he even had a chance to reply, Mavis said, "And remember what the preacher said about putting on the belt of truth." There was an awkward silence, and then Martin kind of stutteringly replied, "Well, you might need a longer belt." Well, I don't know if that qualifies as speaking the truth in love, but it does illustrate that truth is often a key ingredient in battle. As we examine the belt of truth as a component of the armor of God, we need to first establish what truth is. So we're going to look at this today from two vantage points. And first, let's talk about objective truth. Roman numeral 1 is objective truth. To fasten on the belt of truth means, point A, you must confess the truth. Truth is the objective reality of God. I don't have anywhere in there for you to write down that statement, but it might be helpful for you. Truth is the objective reality of God. It's become common in Western culture to believe that truth is some elusive concept that can't really be known. Many believe that truth is whatever you think it is, rather than some objective reality. Truth, if you look at it from that vantage point, is synonymous with the statement, "Whatever you believe is true." For example, do you believe that you can get to heaven just by being a good person? Then that's true for you, according to this logic. Were you born with boy parts, but now you believe that you're a girl? Well, in this logic, then that's true for you. You're a girl. The absurdity of such relativism should be obvious on the most fundamental level. To reject objective truth is to destroy every human discipline. Without truth, science is impossible. Without truth, law and order are pointless. Without truth, morality has no value. Without truth, all relationships are doomed. Without truth, life has no inherent meaning. Now, the idea that truth is subjective is not a new idea. For over 2,000 years, numerous philosophers have postulated that truth is variable. Truth can change. Truth cannot be conclusively known. And so we take you to John chapter 18, where Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Almighty Creator, stood before the man, Pontius Pilate, and said something to Pontius Pilate about truth. To which Pilate responded in John 18:38, "What is truth?" Which was his way of saying, "You really can't know what's true and what's not true." Heard that before? It's where we are even today. Pilate was saying, oh, I don't know whether what you're saying is accurate or not accurate, whether it's true or not true. I don't even know what truth is. I don't think you can know what truth is. That's essentially what Pontius Pilate was saying as he turned around and walked away from Jesus. Jesus, on the other hand, clearly identified that truth is both knowable and it's objective. We can know truth, and we can know it objectively, not subjectively, but as a standalone reality. And so in Jesus' prayer, God the Son praying to God the Father, in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." That's an objective statement. Has nothing to do with how anybody feels about it. This is true. Jesus said, "Your word is truth." And he prayed that we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, would be sanctified by the truth. Objective truth is truth with a definite article. The truth. Not just your truth, my truth, somebody's truth. There is the truth. The reality. The truth. Truth with an objective, with a definite article rather. And in Titus chapter 1, we read about this. In verse 1, Paul says, "Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." We have the knowledge of the truth, which tells us two things. There is an objective reality, the truth, and it can be known. It is knowable. We can have knowledge of the truth. Truth is the objective reality of God. Truth does not change based on circumstances. Truth does not change based on opinions. Truth is true no matter what. And truth is true for all time and eternity. To fasten on, then, the belt of truth means that you must confess that Jesus is the truth. Again, Jesus clearly identified truth in John 14 that is knowable and objective. And he expressly declares in John 14:6 that only by knowing and confessing the objective truth can anyone ever get to heaven. Jesus said, John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So in response to his disciples questioning, well, how are we supposed to know these things? Jesus pointed to himself and he said, "I am the truth." And no one gets to heaven, no one comes to the Father except through the truth. The objective reality of God. No one gets to heaven except through me, Jesus said. The idea that truth is subjective is a demonic doctrine. It is the teaching of devils, of demons. According to God's word, which is truth, those who embrace this philosophy that truth is subjective, that it can't really be known, or that it changes based on circumstances or opinion, those who embrace this philosophy will be forever damned, according to the Scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2 identifies such people. In verse 9 we read, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved." In other words, in order to be saved, you have to love the truth. Not just your concept of truth, but objective reality about who God is and what He has revealed to us about Himself. We must love the truth. Those who reject the truth and instead posit some sort of a subjective reality or a truth that can't really be known and say nobody can really know for sure, and therefore they do not love the truth, they have rejected salvation. There is no way to heaven for such people. Because Jesus Christ is the truth, and to say to Jesus Christ, "I don't really think that you can know truth," or "I don't think you are the truth," is to reject the only way to heaven. I see most of you on a weekly basis. I rejoice in the fellowship that we share together. I make assumptions about you based on your faithfulness here as we worship God and as the Word of God is taught repeatedly. But I don't know your hearts. Only God really knows the hearts of each one here. So I challenge you even right now, if you have begun in any way to buy into this subjective truth that the world teaches, if you believe that it really can't be known, or that there are many different truths and many different ways that lead to God, I want to challenge you that such teaching, such belief is actually demonic. And that if you hold to that, even if you say, well, I believe a lot of different ways to get to God, I'm just coming through Jesus Christ, you're not coming through the Christ as He is revealed in Scripture. Because the Christ who is revealed in Scripture said, I am the truth, and there is no other way. And if you claim, I'm following that Christ, and yet you reject the claim of Christ who said He is the only way, you are not following that Christ. You're following some of your own ideas. And I would challenge you to come to grips with the reality, the objective reality of who God is, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We must believe what the Scriptures tell us, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that He is the creator of everything, that He came to earth in human form, that He lived a perfect life, He died on the cross for my sins and for yours, and then He was raised to life 3 days later, and there is no other way to heaven. If you have never accepted that as the truth, please do that today. You don't know when this life is going to be over, and if you have not made that commitment before you reach the end of this life, there awaits for you only an eternity separated from the God who wanted to save you, whom you rejected. Trust in Jesus today. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Yeah, there's a lot of people who call on God, but they're calling on the God that's in their own mind, the God that they have made up, the God that they imagine. We must call on God in truth, meaning according to His Word. And then, as Jesus stated in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will give you freedom from eternity in hell and give you a relationship with God and the assurance of life forever with Him. If you've not made that commitment, make it today. Secondly, to fasten on the belt of truth means you must immerse yourself in truth. You must immerse yourself in truth. To fasten on the belt of truth means you must apply yourself to the acquisition of truth. This is what I mean by immerse yourself in truth. Apply yourself to the acquisition of truth. Just as we apply ourselves in various other areas of life to the acquisition of knowledge or the acquisition of things, we need to apply ourselves to the acquisition of truth. Most of us have hobbies. Whether it's something that is a formal hobby or just a recreational hobby, just something that you enjoy spending your time, all of us have hobbies of one sort or another. So you've got golf, soccer, video games, exercising, movies, football, watching football, swimming, Pinterest, garage sales, collecting this, that, or the other, whatever it may be, watching TV, crafts, reading, shopping. The list could go on. My guess is that most of us have already identified with at least one of those, maybe several. Yeah, that's where I like to spend my time. I suspect, unfortunately, that most of us devote considerably more time to our hobbies than we spend in the Bible. So let's go back and think about this acquisition of truth, of immersing yourself in the truth. We immerse ourselves in certain things that we enjoy, that we like these hobbies that we just mentioned. We apply ourselves to the acquisition of knowledge. And so for some of you, you could give me football or baseball statistics dating back decades. How do you know those things? Because you've applied yourself to the acquisition of that knowledge. And yet, how many of us are familiar with the Word of God to the extent that we have that level of knowledge about the truth of God's Word? Or do we just not give ourselves to that? Ephesians doesn't say having fastened on the belt of soccer or having fastened on the belt of Pinterest. That's not what this passage says. Having fastened on the belt of truth. Immerse yourself in this truth. Apply yourself to the acquisition of the truth of God's Word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, for some of us, eating is our hobby. And even if that's not your hobby, I seriously doubt that we have many people sitting in this room right now who will wake up one day and think, I forgot to eat yesterday. That doesn't happen. No, we remember to eat. Why? Because you need it to live. But what did Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And yet we may well wake up and think, I never read the Bible yesterday, or last week, or last year. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The pure spiritual milk is God's Word. It means that I don't necessarily need everybody else to explain it to me. I just want to read it. I want to absorb it. I want to let it become a part of who I am. I want to apply myself to the acquisition of truth, to get God's Word into my life. This is what we need to do as we think about fastening on the belt of truth. It means that you must deliberately and consistently abide in the truth, to use Jesus' words from John chapter 15. To be immersed in the truth does not simply mean that you have become familiar with it, but rather that you know it on a personal level, and it is impacting the way you think and the way you live. Listen to these words from Jesus, John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus talks about abiding in him, and him abiding in me, and his words abiding in me. To immerse yourself in the truth means that you are deliberately and consistently applying the Bible to your life. Not just that you've heard these verses, but that you read them with an intent to allow them to impact the way you think and to impact the decisions that you make. Not only do you read the Bible regularly if you are immersing yourself in His Word, but you must also meditate on the truth. Point C. To fasten on the belt of truth means you must meditate on truth. Now, when I use the word meditation, some may immediately go to some mystical Eastern practice, but this is not the mystical emptying of your mind which people talk about when they say meditation. That's actually demonic. That is from the devil himself. We should never do that. No, when I say meditation, we're talking about the intentional focus of your thoughts on God and His Word which is truth. Way back in Joshua chapter 1, as God prepared one of his servants to lead other people, he said to him, this book of the law, verse 8, this book of the law, speaking of the Bible shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. God wants you to focus on his word day and night. 24/7, 365 days a year, God wants you to meditate on His Word. the thoughts of your inner self, the focus of your secret heart, these reveal where your delight is. And God wants your delight to be in truth. Psalm 51, verse 6, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Again, only God knows your heart. But as you think about the things that go on in your heart, if you're like me, the likelihood is there's some things going there that I hope no one will ever know about. That's reality. I am a sinner, saved by the grace of God, who still struggles with the sin nature. So in this secret heart of mine, there are things in there that I wish were not there. There are things in there that I combat. Even worse, there's some things in there that I don't always combat. I leave them alone. I let them be. Sometimes I entertain them. "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." God wants me to be meditating on His Word, not thinking those other kinds of thoughts. He wants me to have His wisdom. He wants me to be focused on truth. To fasten on the belt of truth means that you study the truth and that you think about truth, that you hide truth in your heart. As the psalmist says, Psalm 119:11, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Too many of us fail in our battles against temptation primarily because we have done nothing to prepare our hearts for such battle. We have not stored up God's Word in there. We have taken our time and our energies in order to focus on those things which are not truth, which are not pleasing to God, rather than storing up God's Word in our hearts so that when the temptation comes, that is where I'm going to win the battle. Psalm 15, verse 1 says, "O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart." How do we speak truth in our heart? We meditate on it. We study it. We think about it, not just when it's opened in front of us, but because I have exposed myself regularly to the truth of God's Word and I apply myself to the acquisition of that truth, then it becomes a part of what I'm thinking on a daily basis. So even when I don't have it open in front of me, I am thinking about it. And so far we've been looking primarily at truth as an objective reality. Now I want to turn your attention to number two, truth as a characteristic. Truth as a characteristic of a person who has been transformed and shaped by the power of the objective truth of God. God's truth, the truth with a definite article, transforms the way I think, transforms who I am, so that truth becomes within me a characteristic. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." The truth is God's Word. To walk in that truth becomes a characteristic in me or in you if we are allowing God's Word, objective truth, to transform us. Because you know God and His Word, you must let truth become your character. Point A. You must let truth become your character. We get into God's Word, we study it, we read it, we meditate on it, and the result is that you become the kind of person who is known as one who rejoices in truth, to use the expression of 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. That's when it becomes a part of my character. When others can say about me, this is a person who rejoices in, who delights in truth. It becomes a part of my character. To fasten on the belt of truth means that you're allowing truth to transform you. In 3 John, verse 3, we read, I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. There's two kinds of truth that are referenced here. I greatly rejoiced, he said, when the brothers came and testified to your truth. He's referring to the character of the one who had allowed truth to transform that person. So then he's saying, I see in you, this is the way you live. This is your character. You are walking in the truth. As indeed you are walking, he says, in the truth. This is the objective truth of God, which has brought about that transformation in character. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. God wants us to walk in the truth. The truth is the objective reality of God. Walking in that truth means that it has now become a subjective reality within me, in addition to being an objective standalone reality. I am now transformed by the power of truth, and my character is one of truth. When truth transforms you, it does away with hypocrisy, something all of us battle. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, we read, Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. We're church folks here. Unfortunately, that means that we constantly face the danger of showing up here and putting on the mask and saying the right words, saying amen at the appropriate time, standing up and singing the songs when we're supposed to sing them. And we've got all the right words, but we run the risk of then going home and allowing a different reality to come into play, where I'm not what I thought I was or what I say I am. Let us love not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Too many times we put on the right words and we claim that we love others, but then we don't do anything about it. Well, that's just hypocrisy. That's being two-faced. But when you're transformed by truth and truth becomes your character, then it's no longer just a Sunday go to meeting reality. It is now a 24/7, 365 reality because truth has transformed me. Secondly, to fasten on the belt of truth means you must speak truth. You must speak truth. Speaking truth obviously means that you speak truthfully, so we'll start there. We're going to speak truthfully, as Ephesians 4:25 says, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth as his neighbor. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm going to speak truth. We must speak truthfully. 2 Corinthians 6:4 says, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God. All of these things describe a person who has been transformed by the power of God. And included in that is truthful speech. Well, this should be a no-brainer. I mean, yeah, we're talking about people who claim to be followers of God. They claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Are such people truthful? Obviously, that's what we would expect. Unfortunately, the reality is often quite different. There are far too many people today, even people who operate under the name of Christian, who are something much less than truthful. It may be because of outright lies that they tell, or it may be half-truths, as we like to call them in our day and age, or innuendo, or deceptive implications, or strategic silence. In other words, we've become masters at being able to say something and lead people to believe something that is not true. And we become masters at it, meaning that we can say, oh no, I never said that, when those around you know good and well that that's what you intended to communicate. Speaking truthfully is crucial to fastening on the belt of truth. Not only must you speak truthfully, but you must speak the truth. We are returning to objective truth, the truth, truth with a definite article. Jesus is the truth. God's Word is the truth. speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15 says, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth. You must speak the truth about Christ, about God. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. One of the things I thank God for is that Pahrump Community Church has a decades-long history of presenting the truth unapologetically. We open God's Word, we read God's Word, we affirm that what God's Word says is true. We speak the truth. Are some people offended by that? Yes, they are. I'm sorry that that offends them. Who needs to change, God or them? It's them. Or us, if we're the ones that are offended. We speak the truth, and that's critical here as we think about fastening on the belt of truth, that we will always present the truth of God's Word. We will not compromise it. We will not in any way sacrifice the integrity of God's truth. We will present it because it is the truth, objective reality about God Himself. 2 Corinthians 4:2, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning. We don't practice this trickery with the Word of God. We don't use fancy words in order to get people to believe something that they might not believe otherwise. We want it to be simple, straightforward, and right there in front of us. We renounce cunning. We refuse to tamper with God's Word, but by open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Yes, we speak the truth. Thirdly, to fasten on the belt of truth means you must tell yourself the truth. You must tell yourself the truth. Among the greatest threats that we face on the spiritual battlefield are the lies that we tell ourselves. When we think about Satan attacking and people being used by Satan to attack, actually, I think we're generally more effective at standing up against that than we are standing up against the lies we tell ourselves. Maybe some of these are familiar to you. God doesn't really care about me anymore. Everybody's against me. I'm the only one that's really trying to do the right thing here. I can't handle these hardships anymore. All these trials, I can't do this anymore. I'm a loser, and there's no hope for me. I failed again. There's no way that God's going to forgive me this time. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but my guess is that many people here can relate to one or more of these statements. We tell ourselves these lies. We get into that pity party. We start focusing on ourselves rather than on God, and out come these lies. Maybe we even argue with ourselves in our brains, and yet so often the lies win. If you're like me, and you sometimes do tell yourselves these lies, and I do, I want to recommend a book to you. It's not in your outlines, but it's just entitled Telling Yourself the Truth by Backus and Chapin. This book is a study on biblical truth of who you really are in Christ. I strongly recommend it. It's just entitled Telling Yourself the Truth, and I found it to be a real benefit as I'm attempting to apply the truth of God's Word to my own self when I'm telling myself such lies. After all, Ephesians 4:20 says, that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. These lies that you tell yourself, you got to put those off. You got to take those on in battle and refuse to allow those lies to win. Because you did not learn Christ that way. You don't learn that from God's Word. Instead, we're going to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in truth, in true righteousness and holiness. You know, the reality is that we're often our own worst enemy. Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
To fasten on the belt of truth means you're going to tell yourself the truth instead of listening to those lies. 1 John 2:21 says, "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." I've been a Christian for over 50 years. I've immersed myself in God's Word. It's not likely that you're going to come to me and show me a Bible verse that I have not already thought about. Not that I don't know the truth, but how often in my stupidity do I listen to my own lies instead of God's truth? No lie is of the truth. And if your thoughts conflict with what God says, you're wrong and you need to win that battle. In ancient battle, the belt is often what ties the entire ensemble of armor together. And so as we think about the belt of truth, without truth, you are susceptible to defeat. Here's your conclusion. Truth ensures the integrity of the whole armor of God. Integrity means that it works as it's supposed to work. It follows the design. It does what it was designed to do. The whole armor of God has been given to us, as we're studying here in Ephesians chapter 6. Truth, the belt of truth, ensures the integrity of the whole armor of God. All of these different components that we're studying and that we will be studying in the weeks ahead, each of these is critical. What holds them all in place and makes sure that everything works as it's supposed to work? The belt of truth. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, that is, while we are saying, "You know, God, I don't want You to take control of this area of my life. You know, God, I'm not quite ready to give this up yet. I know, God, that You don't want me to do this anymore, but I just don't think I can handle that." We are claiming that we walk in light, and yet we walk in darkness. 1 John 1:6 says, "You lie and do not practice the truth." The belt of truth requires that we practice the truth. As you serve as a soldier for the kingdom of God, following Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, make sure that you fasten on the belt of truth. Lord, I thank You for reminding us today how critical truth is, how important it is that we understand that there is objective, knowable truth, and we hold it in our hands, Your holy Word. And that objective, knowable reality is in our hearts for those of us who have trusted in Jesus, who is the truth, the way, the life. I pray, Lord, that You would cause us to walk in that truth, and that where we are being attacked with falsehood and lies, even sometimes from our own hearts and sin natures, that You would help us to fasten on the belt of truth in such a way that we no longer listen to those lies, but we hold tightly to the truth, and we win this battle because You've provided everything we need for life and godliness. And Lord, again, if there are any here who have never accepted Christ, I pray that today would be that day. Even as they go out, maybe they'll stop and tell me, I need to know how to accept Jesus, and we can work through that together. And for each of my brothers and sisters, Lord, help us go away from here with a renewed zeal to walk in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.